Okay, so we're going to learn a piece here on Hanukkah. It's really half of a piece. In other words, this piece has two completely different parts to it. I'm not sure if I want to get into the second one. It's the first one that mostly attracts me over here for our shiur. It just gives us, at least for me, gives me a little bit of a deeper way of thinking about things. And Hanukkah, I always feel is, I mean, if you know a bit of Hanukkah, it's a really deep yantif that out there in the world at large is kept on a very, very superficial level and turned into something really superficial. But Hanukkah is profoundly deep. And unlike you may find the way it's written up in secular sources as, oh, Hanukkah is a minor holiday in the Jewish calendar. It's not minor at all. It's a really big deal, and not as they will say, a minor holiday that gets a little more prominent because of the time in December that it falls at. And Chas v'Shalom, Chas v'Shalom, L'Havdol, L'Hol of Havdolos. Okay, so we'll see a little bit about the depth of Hanukkah tonight. Kechanukah kviyas zichro l'doros. The idea of kviyas zichro l'doros, of establishing for generations what the observance of Hanukkah. Okay. All right, so let's see. She pushed the ball past. Okay. Okay. All right. It's for the next person coming in. Okay. All right. Chashmonaim b'mesiras nasham zachu l'galos. The Chashmonaim through the mesiras nefesh zachu l'galos for zocha merited l'galos to reveal shenekudas or haTorah pnimis in la bitula olam, that the nekuda, the spark of the inner light of Torah, will never be disrupted. And is destined to survive the darkness of the night of Hester, of the hiddenness of Hashem, through all the generations. The Shem Limudzeh, to teach this lesson, is Gala Neis Hashemen. That's why the Neis Hashemen, the Neis of the oil, was revealed, the Neis Hazikol Adoros, and was established to be commemorated for generations. We do not find in Torah Chazal Zichronos Historium Gradum. A lot of people don't realize this. When I say people, I mean out there. That we don't find in Torah Chazal simple historical commemorations. Just remember something, a historical event. And you look at the American calendar of historical events that are commemorated, they manage to move them all to a Monday, pretty much, so they should have the long weekend. And from that perspective, you know, there's a certain logic to it, because it's just, what's the difference what day of the week you remember it? It doesn't have to be on that day. You just have to remember whatever it is, Memorial Day and Veterans Day and so on. But for us, it's something that happened on that day. It's not just a historical event of the past. Elokol inyanam limudim ikriyim l'avodat Hashem. But everything about this commemoration has fundamental lessons in avodat Hashem. The Indian Bakhtiyas Masal Adoros, an idea of establishing a commemoration for all generations, a permanent commemoration, which the Yiskor Adam is so that a person remembers the Neis, the miracle, and should be inspired to learn from it. Okay, so far you're saying a beautiful point, beautifully expressed, but a very, really basic idea that all of these commemorations are there for us to learn from, to be inspired from, and to grow from, not just to remember something of the past. And in Chanukah in particular, he said that the Chashmonaim revealed to us that the light of Torah, because really that's what the menorah represents, and that's what they fought for. They fought for the right to learn Torah and the right to keep Torah, to observe the mitzvot, so that the inner life of Torah will never, ever be disrupted, and will survive even the darkest day.
Is that like after Mashiach comes, that there'll still be Hanukkah?
He's not getting to whether it's still Hanukkah. They're revealing to us that the light of Torah forever will survive forever, which means, of course, even Mashiach comes, that we will always have the light of Torah. Okay. Achen is bonin, but if you will contemplate this matter, Nafchim b'ze'inin amuk yosu will find something much deeper. In a kog zeros shall hester pani. Because this is going to take, you know, this is going to take some focus. Okay, we're always focused, but the processes will take a different level of focus. In a kog zeros shall hester pani. Anytime there's a gezeira, the decree of hester pani, where Hashem hides, withdraws, so to speak, at least as the way it appears to us, and we are left to face whatever fate awaits us. Sibasan, the cause for those decrees, is the chesronos ruchni v'madregas adar. They relate to spiritual chesronos, spiritual deficiencies in the level of the generation. Moshe Nishna b'Tanach kama po'amim. As we find the Tanach in several places. V'yasoh rabbi in Hashem. They did that which is evil in the eyes of Hashem. V'yimster b'yat polishtim. Hashem delivers them into the hands of the Philistine, and so on. Ukedom, etc. And then when there's tshuva, by the tshuvasam, when they do tshuva, tiknu achisaron, they correct that which was lacking, and then they are safe from the enemy. And that's the way it is with the Jewish people. We historically, when we sin and we distance ourselves from Hashem, then the enemy can come and overpower us, and then we do tshuva, then the situation is refreshed. V'chein haya b'chanukah, and so was a Chanukah. Shebal leim gzeres shmad, they were, gzeres shmad, the decree of shmad was imposed upon them. I just want to pause here for a moment to say, I think that this term gzeres shmad, this gzeres, decree of shmad, is first used in reference to Chanukah. Because I think it was the first gzeres shmad. Shmad is a term that we use for religious persecution. Shmad literally means to decimate. And it's very interesting that when they try to destroy us physically, we don't refer to it as Gzeres Shmad. It's when they try to destroy us spiritually, they're called Gzeres Shmad. So much so that the term that we use for a Jew who Rachmana Litzlan converts to another religion, we say that he's Shmad, which means he destroyed his spiritual essence. Even though we do find, for example, Megillas Esther, the term is used in reference to physical decimation. Lahashmid, laharog, lahabed. That's what Haman wanted to do, was lahashmid. But here's talking about the Gzera Shema, the spiritual Gzera of Yavan, of Chanukah. We have to keep in mind that in Chanukah, there was no decree against the Jews, and the authorities had no issue with the Jews as a people, as a physical entity. The problem was their spiritual life and their spiritual uniqueness. If everyone would have been ready to assimilate, then they would have been just fine with it. So, the Gzeres Shmad came upon them, because the Jews joined up. Many Jews joined up with the Hellenists. And many of the Jews Hellenized themselves. When the Chashmonaim reversed that, and were Moshe Nefesh, they were ready to sacrifice themselves because of the Gzeres Shmad, the Nifrdu Me'apotshim, and they disassociated themselves from the sinners. Umanu Hashlotas HaMisyavnim, and they, through that, they were able to restrict the influence of the Hellenizers, the Tarbusam, and their culture, Mi'isra, from the Jews. So then they merited a great salvation, and great miracle. So that's the way it works. It's just almost like a mechanical thing to a degree. That when we cave in and we become, when we sin, and in this case the sinning was assimilation, that's really what it was, and unfortunately many Jews did at first assimilate and join up with the Greeks and, you know, just saying, well, we want to be like them. That's when the whole thing began to unfold and the Xeris began to come. And then when we fought back against that, then in the course of that we were saved. Okay.
Well, is it any different than the other one?
Well, it was different. Well, I don't even mean by the other one. This was in terms of the struggle against the Ivanim, it was a spiritual struggle primarily. It was a struggle to maintain their relationship with Hashem, to maintain the freedom, or to regain the freedom, to be able to live their lives as Jews.
Is it supposed to, like,
by the Philistines? Yeah, Philistines, it was the war. It was more of a typical power struggle and physical struggle of who would, of conquering land and so on. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so here we start, is where he starts taking things to the next level. Pnimius mashpia ledoros. We'll translate it, and then we'll get the explanation as we go along. Pnimius, inner reality, mashpia ledoros, has an influence for future generations. V'harbe madregos yeshna l'tshuva zu. There are many levels to this kind of tshuva that we just described. Yesh asharus. There's a potential, and this is the ultimate level. There's a potential for Shetshuvah Tador Tehei Madrega, the Tshuvah of the generation should be on a level, Shetakifis Kol Hador, that it encompasses the entire generation. It's Kol Hador Mamash, literally the whole generation. V'yushpa HaKlal Mehaprat, where it leads to the Klal, the entire society, Jewish society, to be influenced from the individuals who are leading the way, and then individuals are straggling and influenced by the communal tshuva, to the point where there are no exceptions. Everyone is caught up in it. Meaning that the tshuva is so powerful, and it's going to explain how it becomes so powerful, that it penetrates the hearts of every Jew, and the klal, as he said, the klal, the society at large, is caught up in it, is swept up in what the prat, or the prat in the individuals, the small band of chashmonim, if you will, did when they led the way, and that sweeps ultimately everybody up into it, and it becomes an all-encompassing tshuva of the generation. V'hena, that is to say, she is alu kokach b'tshuvasan, that they will be so elevated through the tshuva let me try to introduce this, and then we'll read the line again. There's a concept, and we've touched on this probably on other occasions. There's a concept that that we Jews all share one neshama. There's something called the Nishmas Yisrael, and what separates us is really only the physical expressions of ourselves, that's where we're separate. But deep down, we're really very unified. And as he's going to explain, I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit. We'll see how he expresses it soon, but let's just introduce ideas so we'll recognize them when we see them. That it's possible, as we know, for people to be connected in a way that's a spiritual connection that supersedes time and space. A mother, we hear many stories about a mother who may be aware of some difficult situation that a child is going through, something's not right with my child who is 1,000 miles away. But a mother can intuitively sometimes feel that. We hear stories about twins, siblings, particularly twins, that can feel each other's reality from a distance where they don't really have any direct knowledge of what's going on. You know, in Yeruchim Levavitz, the Mir Mashgiach has a whole piece on this where it talks about the Sod Ichud Nefashos Shel Klal Yisrael, the secret of Ichud Nefashos, of the unity of the souls of the Jewish people. And he also starts off by talking about, just like, you know, there are people who are just connected to each other. And as an example that he gives, we're reading now, we're going to start reading the Parshios of Yosef and his brothers. So in Vayigash, where Yehuda approaches Yosef, and we're told that he yelled, right? He was upset. He yelled so loud, right? He gave such a tzaka that Chushim ben Dan came running down from Canaan to Mitzrayim. Now Chushim, now you have to yell really loud for someone in Canaan, right, in Eretz Yisrael, to hear when someone in Mitzrayim is yelling. But it goes even further than that because Chushim ben Dan was deaf. So how loud do you have to yell for your deaf nephew to hear you, hundreds of miles away? Says the Yeruchim Levavitz, the tza'aka, the cry of Yehuda, was a tza'aka b'lev, was the cry of the heart. And a cry of the heart can travel hundreds of miles, and even the deaf nephew, the deaf chushim, could hear that. So there are ways that things can be connected on a deeper level. But what he's saying now is that when it comes to the Jewish people, on the deepest level, in the deepest aspects of our spiritual reality, we are connected. We just don't always get there. We don't always touch that part of ourselves. But if you can get down to that part of ourselves, then whatever happens there happens to everybody because we're all connected. It's one neshama.
And why is it just a few people influencing so many? Few people that were spiritually on the right plane.
Right. So I don't think it started on this deep level, but it started with that act of mysterious nefesh, and other people were caught up in it, and other people were inspired by it, and it led to a tshuva movement. But it led to a tshuva movement that he said was something that ultimately was processed on a very deep level. As people got caught up in that, I can't tell you exactly what the process was and exactly what point that happened. But he will say that's what happened. Let's see how he puts it.
But it's a stronger pull than the other way, than the people influencing.
Right, because the opposite way never touches that deepest part of our neshama, because every neshama is protected. That's Nishmas Yisrael, the Pentaliyah, the Kudna Pnimis, never gets touched. It's always pristine, it's always pure. The question is whether we reach it or not. Yes, because I think one of the defining characteristics of a gadol. I don't mean just a gadol of Torah, a big time chacham, but a gadol, a man again, klayisrael, is that he's connected to everybody, and that's why tefillos make a difference. It's because he's connected and he's really davening not for you, for some other entity. He's davening for himself. He feels connected to you, and you're one and the same.
Like
everybody. Yeah, and probably a lot of this could be said about Purim as well. Because you'll see where he goes with this, and he can really apply a lot of this to Purim. So, Vahainu, that is to say, so again, the third line of the paragraph. Middle of the line. She's alo kokach with shivasim, that they can be so elevated in their tshuva, after the gil and the kudas pnindipnim, to the point where it reaches that point of the pnindipnim, which means the inside of the inside, the point, that protected point of kedusha that's inside, the deepest inside of the neshama. Ashisham, that place where mischabros and nefoshes with all of the neshamas are connected. B'nevesh achas hashpia al chavata me'ora. And one neshama is hashpia influences the other with its light. V'hashpa zos, and that hashpa, that influence, ein mehalcha b'derech hachush megashmiyim, doesn't go through the normal channels of the physical senses. Ela al yidei chibur ruchni, but it's coming through the spiritual connection. Kedavar hamamik me'od b'nefesh, because something that is embedded very deep in the soul, yachal hashpia nefesh acheres, could influence another soul b'derech ruchni, through spiritual channel. Yidua, and here he says what I mentioned before. Yidua, it's well known, the teva and nature. Sheish mikrim, there are times shel avaras machshavos, mishnei b'nei adam, where thoughts can pass between two people. Asher kesh shachiba mechabram, there's a kesh shachiba, a bond of love between them. The bond of love between these two people, and they can communicate pretty much telepathically. They can feel each other. They can feel what the other one is dealing with. This kasha zo, he shalom b'derech hachushim. The connection obviously is not through the senses. U'me'al l'makom hazman, it transcends place and time. Bo'os ha'b'china, in the same sense, pikama v'chama, but many times multiplied. Yeshav shorish l'kesha ruchani, there's a potential for spiritual connection. V'hashpas ruchanis, and a spiritual influence, minefesh achas achavata, from one soul to another. V'dor shetis'al kol kach v'mashavto, and a generation that is so elevated, I'm sorry, v'tshuvasu in his tshuva, ad shechadra ha'tshuva l'pnimiyusam, to the point where the tshuva penetrated to their deepest point, v'gil and nekudazu, and it reaches that point, sheleschabas and nefashos, where the souls are connected, then tshuvasam nasis achas mamish. The tshuva becomes literally one collective tshuva. the Pnyusam Hamchuberes in their inner connected space. And that's how the tshuva can reach a point where there are no exceptions. Everyone is caught up in it. They're all influenced in their souls. From the light of tshuva, mechadim bo, and they're united in it. So this is obviously a rare phenomenon, but he's saying that it's possible. It's possible for a tshuva of Klal Yisrael to start operating at such a deep level that the entity called Klal Yisrael is caught up in it. It's not that this did tshuva and this did tshuva and this did tshuva and these people are doing tshuva and these people are doing tshuva. It's that on its deepest level, the Nishmas Yisrael is returning to Hashem. And if it's returning to Hashem, then and everyone is part of that and everyone is in touch with that, then it just is. It just is.
Highly connected people, and then like cell division, just keep going.
Yeah, but it's not division, it's connection. It's soul connection rather than cell division.
So this wave of tshuva has happened, how many, in my lifetime,
in Halavai, we should say that it happened in our lifetime. We've seen a tshuva movement in our lifetime that has been amazing, you know. And you know, the post-6-day war was a tremendous wave of tshuva that Baruch Hashem hasn't stopped. But I don't know if I would say that it reached this point. Or Dessler says once it reaches that point, then really everybody gets swept up in it. Everybody gets swept up in it because every Jewish Neshama is, by definition, it's like a signal that goes through the entire Nishmas Yisrael, and everybody's going to feel something's happening to them. Because we're all connected. On that level, we're all connected. So, but he's saying a Hanukkah. So I think Hanukkah and Purim could be times when you can point at where something like that happened. Maybe an argument can be made that in our times, we're moving in that direction. And you know, that's Yimot HaMashiach. Well, ultimately, is going to result in that. So, but he's saying that that's what happened at Hanukkah. He's suggesting that the tshuva was so powerful and so deep that it affected the Nishmas Yisrael. I can't respond to that because I don't know exactly how he processes that either. I think your point is well taken.
We
find conversely such an idea with Achan. Achan was the one who, in Sefer Yoshua, when they captured Yericho, and there was a chirim. There was a ban, it should be a Kadosh Baruch Hu, on taking part in any of the spoils in Yericho. And Achan did do it, right? Achan did partake. And a whole dramatic chapter unfolds over there where there's a process of gorolos, of lots that ultimately reveal who the culprit was. But let's see what Rav Dessler wants to bring after this. Rabbi Achan shechata he sinned, the gun of Mishal al Yericho, and he stole from the spoils of Yericho. Rabbi Kadosh Baruch Hu, how does Hashem express it? He doesn't say someone did a chet. He says chata Yisrael. Yisrael sinned. Gam ganvu, they stole. V'gam kachashu v'gam sama b'chaleim. They stole, and they denied it, and they placed, and they took from the spoils and placed it in their claim, their knapsacks, if you will, in their kalim, in their storage things, right? Now, only one person did it. So he says, even though only one person in Klai Yisrael sinned, the potential, the ability to steal on the part of one Jew, it indicates a chisoron, a lacking in all of Klal Yisrael, b'nichom esegneva, regarding how seriously geneva should be looked at. Shemlo came because if there was no lacking part of Klal Yisrael, if Klal Yisrael through and through, down to the deepest nakuda of their neshama, was sensitive, properly sensitive to this idea of geneva, it would be impossible for any individual to steal. Something was lacking. Well, according to what we just wrote, it's even more understandable. Shemai Yitzhak Neva, maybe I jumped ahead a little bit because he's going to say it in those terms now. Shemai Yitzhak Neva Mushrash B'Nafsham B'Shleimusel. If the matter of Neva was fully embedded, fully in, the Neshama was fully invested in this idea completely, you would not have had an exception of someone who stole. Because all of them would have been united and connected regarding this Avera, it's Chavrish Nafshis, a spiritual connection by Karas Chomer Isser, recognizing the seriousness of the Isser, of the prohibition of stealing. So he's just showing you that on the flip side, but it's really one and the same. If the notion of Geneva is so understood and so embedded in our neshamos down to the deepest level, then everyone is connected to that and it would not be possible for anybody to steal. So if anybody did steal, it showed that there was an element of shallowness to how, even though no one else was stealing, but it wasn't as deep as it should have been. The resistance or the attitude towards stealing wasn't, and the revulsion against stealing, I guess we should say, wasn't as deep as it could have been. Wasn't deep as it should have been if anybody was able to steal. Look, on the simpler level, the way he expresses it first, the sinners are a product of the society that they live in, even though not everybody is a sinner. The sinners may actually only be a fringe element, but they're a reflection of the sensitivities of the society. If the society, I've talked about this on other occasions, so forgive me if you heard this from me, but that I once heard a speaker speak about this and talk about someone who did a study of teenagers in various societies. And he interviewed teenagers in Lebanon during the Civil War in Lebanon. What was that in the 80s? I don't remember that was. 70s, there was a big Civil War in Lebanon between the Christians. Was it Christians and Muslims? Different Christian groups, I don't remember. Anyway, there was a lot of killing going on there. And they interviewed the teenagers, and they asked them, what's the worst thing you ever saw another teen do? And they asked the same question to a group of Amish teenagers. Mm-hmm. Right? Just to compare, what's the worst thing you ever saw somebody else do? So the Amish teenagers said, first they don't want to speak Lashon Hara, so they were reluctant to give anything, right? And then finally one of them, after the coaching said that he once saw another boy wear a pink handkerchief in his pocket, he had a pink handkerchief. So then he started, so the others started saying what they saw, and the other one said that he saw a boy take a ride on a tractor. And then in Lebanon, the boy said, well, he saw a boy kill somebody who was a member of his own clan. The killing was a big deal, but it was a member of his own clan. So what does it mean? It means that every society produces its sinners. If the society is a more gentle society, the society is a more sensitive society. So what's the terrible sin that the sinner will do? Is a pink handkerchief a ride on a tractor? And in a more violent society, what's the terrible that sinner will do? A member of his own clan. So it's true for the saints as well. The saints and sinners of every society are products of the society. Society gets its good guys and its bad guys. It gets the ones they deserve. Because they are a reflection of the society as a whole. A society that's less sensitive to violence is a society that will produce more violent criminals. Will everybody be a violent criminal? Not necessarily. But the violent criminals will be more violent. The criminals will be more violent in a society that's less sensitive to violence than a society that's more pacifist, right? So that's it. That's true, all the time. But he's saying that really, and particularly when it comes to Klal Yisrael, it works on a deeper level. That if if the attitude towards a particular chet is has reached, and if the rejection of the behavior involved a particular chet is has reached so deep into the deepest part of the neshama, that Klai Yisrael has fully absorbed the lesson of that idea on the deepest level, then it takes over the Nishmat Yisrael. Then the Nishmat Yisrael, the Jewish soul, will not tolerate this kind of behavior. And that Jewish soul that is in the heart of every single member of Klai Yisrael, really, it shouldn't be possible. So if Achon is able to steal, it showed that the Jewish soul was somehow lacking. The collective Jewish soul was somehow lacking in this area. And needed repent. It's a little bit of a different idea. At least the way the Beis Levi explains it, how do the animals become corrupted in the generation of Noach is I don't know if it's completely different, but the idea of spiritual pollution, where the atmosphere becomes toxic because you get influenced by each other. But that influence, I'm not sure how to exactly distinguish between them, too, because it's an interesting comparison. But I think it's possible. You know what? The question is not whether it's a phenomenal idea. So potentially it's possible. Is it common? Is it likely? Does it happen all the time? No. But conceptually, yes. What? Do what?
Make a new
connection. We just are. That's who we are. You know what? We are aware of that connection. You know, in our own way, in different ways. When Jews, when in Chicago and in our shul and all around the world were davening for Gilad Shalit, who they never met and had no connection to.
I'm hearing, maybe I'm not understanding. Total universal that we are so connected, as Amir Phillips was so pure, each one of us is so connected that we would not tolerate any wrongdoing.
Right. And that's it's a very ideal an ideal concept. You have to know some of them.
We're all just so united, like at
Harsina. When it happened. That's what's meant by Ki'ish Echad B'Leiv Echad. That Klai Yisrael embraced Matan Torah on the deepest level.
I think I'm missing something. The connection I get, what I thought I was hearing was that if we were so connected, there would be no hate.
No, we are connected. You can't say we're so connected with no hate. We are connected. It's a tshuva that we do.
Okay.
Is such a deep tshuva that it penetrates all the way down to that space where we're all connected, then there would be no chet. But it takes a tshuva. But there's a potential, conceptually there's a potential, and at Chanukah, on some level that happened. Now we're standing good questions about where the Messiah happened.
You see my confusion?
Did you see my answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. All right. Okay. Vim Zochim Lalos, is that what I'm up to? I don't know. I thought that's what I'm up to. If they would have all been sensitized to Geneva on the deepest level, then it would have not have been possible for Achon to steal. Kikulam, see the first word of the line is Mehaklal, so you know. Kikulam hayimuchadim chubarim ischabris nafshis. They would have all been connected on this issue on a spiritual level. But Kars Chomer Isser, they've been connected in their awareness of how serious of a chait stealing is. V'mzochem lalos v'daga p'nimizos atuma, and if Klai Yisrael zocha to elevate itself on this deepest level atuma and to bring it to its ultimate conclusion, ashlemus hakara b'pnim aleiv, where there is total awareness on the deepest level, then Now, listen to how he extends this, if it's not extended enough. He says, "Us then gam bedoros habaim lo yistana klal." It won't change the future generations either. Shenekudah pnimah zos tishar kavula doros, because the impact on this deepest level will remain for all generations, because it's still the same neshama. It doesn't become a different neshama the next generation. The whole thing, this whole concept supersedes and transcends time and space. Klai Yisrael is connected. But k'mo shamar Chazal, as Chazal tells us, you can see how the impact of the depth of connection to a mitzvah in one generation influence other generations. Chazal tells us, kol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem b'simcha, every mitzvah that Klai Yisrael accepted with simcha, da'ina shekiblu aleihem b'simcha shleimus mitzvah. That means, Rav Des explains, not just simcha, but simcha, it was a total acceptance of total simcha for the mitzvah, really loving this mitzvah in a total way. Adayin osim b'simcha, the Gemara says they still do a simcha. We still do a simcha today. Bris Mila, I think, is an example of that. Right? Ki kol haneshamos shebechol hadoros, because all of the neshamos of all generations, muchodos are united. Muchodos, they're all united. Derech paniyusa on this inner level, but shleimus mitzvah zu with simchasa in the Shlemus of this mitzvah and simcha. And by the way, this could also be the pshat in going back to Matan Torah. Why Matan Torah is incumbent upon, or Kabbalah's Torah is incumbent upon all future generations, because we were all there. What does that mean? We were all there. The Nishmas Yisrael accept the Torah. That's what it was. Okay, we haven't answered your question yet, Jane. I don't know.
Right.
You know too. Okay, good. Stalling. You have 5 minutes. It'll get there. Zeh omek inyan kviyas zeich ledoros b'masa. This is the idea, the depth of the idea of establishing a commemoration for all generations through an act like lighting the menorah. Ki b'fnim ha-nefesh, on the deepest level, nikva az ha-mitzvah o ha-teshuah v'limuda. The mitzvah, if it was dealing with a mitzvah, or the teshuva, the salvation, the limuda and its lessons, were embedded deep in the nefesh, in the deepest place. Vigyel and the kudas pnim dipnim, and it reaches that point of pnim dipnim, of the inner, right, the deepest part. By dezeh and its achdav and its atma, and to that it brought a unity and its atma and strengthened itself. Beichud kol nishmos Yisrael in a united way, in all of the neshamas of Klai Yisrael, atzav kol hadoros, to the end of time. V'nekuda achas mehakaros mehapnima shel hador shechoy bizman hanes, and there is at least one spark, nekuda achas, one spark, one point of this inner recognition of that original generation, shechoy bizman hanes, who lived in the time of the miracle, nimtzas gam atza, is found even now, Kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael, in every Jewish heart. V'im'ein, because here, I think in the next line, he addresses your question, Shaita. V'im'ein hashba'ah sani keret. If the influence of that spark is not obvious, zebnei shechitzonius chotzeset, because the chitzonius, our external, separates between us and our inner selves. The timtum halev, and the spiritual blockage of the heart, monei hashba'ah, stops that spark from influencing us. In other words, we have it in us. We have it in us because we're part of Klai Yisrael. And the Nishmas Yisrael was affected by the story of Chanukah. Every Nishama was affected by the story of Chanukah. And therefore, we have a spark of that truth and that reality and that clarity deep inside of ourselves. But we get too caught up in our superficial selves. We get too caught up in our physical selves, which is what separates us from each other and separates us from our inner reality, our inner truth, and we don't feel it. We don't feel it, but it's there. Al kein, therefore, kavu Chazal zecher aydei masa mitzvah. So therefore, Chazal, what do? They said, we're going to make a mitzvah. We're going to commemorate the event. And commemorating the event really is commemorating our own reality, right? Through a mitzvah, like lighting the menorah. So this, I really should have checked the English version to see how they translate this. But there's two kinds of isaruta or isaruta. There's two kinds of inspiration. There's inspiration that we bring about ourselves through our own action. That's called, in the world of Machshava and Kabbalah, isaruta dilatata, inspiration from below. And then there's isaruta dilaela, when Hashem does something to inspire us. Okay? So when we do the mitzvah, we are inspiring ourselves. We're doing an act, right? And if we do it properly with the right kavana, then through that, Yisor HaAdam Lelimud Godel Nisi HaBoris Baruch, a person can be inspired to learn the lesson of the greatness of Hashem's miracles, like Boris Baruch Shemo, V'Chasadav, and His Chesed. So it opens up that spark just a little bit, right? It just exposes it, gives it a little bit of exposure. By the Pischo Shamachat, Yivtach Aide Zebelibo, and by the mitzvah, our personal inspiration, opening up that inner space to Pischo Shamachat, the size of a, call it the point of a needle, opening it to that degree, Yivtach Lo Kishel Ulam Mitzarusi Del Eila, Hashem will respond by opening up the door wide with Isrus Leila, with the divine inspiration. Lahotzi Lizgalia, the Pnim HaNefesh, to bring out into the open from the deepest parts of our soul, as the or the light, Shenikne B'Nafsho, that really is a Nikne B'Nafsho, which has been acquired, which is a reality in our souls, Me'adora Shoy B'Sman HaNes, from the generation of the Nes, from the generation that lived at the time of the Nes. Right, so that we have a remnant, we have a spark, we have a bit of that influence inside of us that we have to get in touch with. And the process by which we can get in touch with it is through the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is there to put us in touch with a deeper place of our inner reality. And then if we do that, then Hashem will, even just a little bit, Hashem will respond by opening up that much more and helping us grow from that. Zeh koach halishma. This is the koach of lishma, of doing something lishma for the sake of Hashem and His mitzvah. Dehainu apnimius. It means to bring our inner selves into the reality. Shekone kini b'nafsho, where a person can acquire a reality in his soul. Sheinu is bata la'olam, that can never be destroyed because it's so deep and touched to the inner reality. So that's, you know, when you meet people who when they light their Hanukkah menorah, they don't, as soon as they finish lighting and sing Haner Salomos, or you know, leave it and go eat the latkes or go out to the Hanukkah party, but instead they sit there and just stare at the flames for a half hour. That's what's going on over here. There's a tremendous depth to the menorah, to the Orah menorah, to the light of the menorah. Told that the Shram tell us that the Or HaGanah, the hidden light, the light of creation that Hashem created at the time of Briyas Olam, that He hid at the end of the 6 days of creation. Where did Hashem hide it? So it's told He hid it in the flames of the Ner Chanukah. That's where it is. What does that mean, that light? It's the light that lights up the ultimate truth. It's the light of the inner light of the Nishmas Yisrael. It's all one and the same. So if we can get in touch with that, then what Rav Das is telling us is the Chanukah, and the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah offers us an opportunity for tremendous growth, because it offers the opportunity to connect to a very deep part of ourselves, which connects us to a whole world that's really, for the most part, beyond us right now, because it's a world of the past. It's the world of the generation of Ner Chanukah, the world of the Chashmonaim, and all of their mysterious nefesh, the Torah mitzvot, and we can tap into that as well.
That means like a perfect clarity, like there's nothing.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that you'll always act on it, because you also learn that Tzimtzum HaLev and the Gashmis and get in the way of being in touch with it.
But how are you even allowing the Gashmis to get in there?
It's
like totally.
There's a pristine part of us that's deep inside of us, but it's not that that anything happened to it, it's that we become more superficial.
Yeah.
As we become more superficial and more shallow, we're no longer in touch with it. And this is where we need the help of Ner Chanukah to get back in touch with it, to find it again. It's there, but if it all be neshamos, if it all be living, we know this, right? From everything else you've learned, there's always a struggle between the neshama and the guf. Which one is going to dominate? Who's the real you? Which one of us is really operating? Which one of us is expressing itself more firmly, more strongly? And all too often, it's the guf, it's the body, and the gashmi, it's everything else that expresses itself. That it's not really a true self. We're told in the Shema Yisrael, really, every Jew wants to do good. Deep down, every Jew wants to do the right thing. That's who we are. So how do we ever do anything that's not good? How does that happen? Because we're not in touch with our own reality. We don't even recognize ourselves anymore. And I think what Rav was saying is that the Ner Chanukah can help us rediscover ourselves, rediscover our inner self. Connected. Okay.
We're always being bombarded by